Today, KSFR continues with its interviews with the candidates running for governor. These interviews, of course, are leading up to the June 3rd primary. If you have not voted yet, please be sure to go to your polling place and vote on June 3rd. Yesterday, we spoke with candidate Alan Weber. A podcast of that interview can be found on the KSFR website, the Radio Cafe. We begin today with Lawrence Rael. Mr. Rael, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running for governor of New Mexico?
Let me begin by telling your listening audience that I'm a native New Mexican. I was born in New Mexico, born actually there in Santa Fe. I have three children. One is in college at UNM, and the other two are, one is in high school, and the other is in elementary school. My middle child, who goes to school there, to the New Mexico School for the Arts in Santa Fe, so she takes the New Mexico Railrunner Express every morning to go to school. I was raised in a small town just south of Santa Fe and the little town of Sile. It's located between the pueblos of Cochiti and Santo Domingo. And so, again, native New Mexican. My wife is from Raton, New Mexico. So our family roots are in the northern part of the state, along the Santa Fe area, then up into Taos, and then all the way up into Raton. I was been involved in public service for over 35 years. I've had the opportunities to work in Santa Fe as an assistant or acting transportation, deputy transportation secretary, to working in Washington for Senator Bingaman for 3 years and working on issues at the national level. And most recently, I had worked at the city of Albuquerque for three different mayors for 12 years and being CAO and working on many of the issues and many of the opportunities that created jobs and created a quality of life for Albuquerque. And then I built the New Mexico Railroad Express in when I was director of the Council of Governments and connected the corridors between Valencia County, Bernalillo, Sandoval, and Santa Fe, a major project and, I believe, a transformational project for New Mexico. I also worked as a presidential appointee for President Obama for a year and a half as in the Farm Service Agency, working with farmers and ranchers all over New Mexico. All that experience, I believe, sets me apart from many of the candidates in this race, simply from the perspective that I know how to get things done. When you manage large organizations, as I have, and you can see the results of my work, whether it was building the Rail Runner or building a baseball stadium and other quality of life in Albuquerque projects, or bringing new jobs and creating opportunities and helping the small businesses grow, I'm a doer. I believe that my record of experience and management and getting things done is what New Mexico needs now more than ever. And as a result of that, I'm running for governor because I'm tired of being last on all these good lists as we are today and, unfortunately, being first on all the bad lists. And it's about time we have a governor who has executive experience and policy experience and a record of accomplishment. And really, quite frankly, for me on a personal level, I truly want to make sure that we continue to serve New Mexico and move New Mexico forward, especially as we look at the issues of education, our jobs, and what's happening with our economy, and then, quite frankly, building a strong government in New Mexico that can help grow our communities and help support our children and grow a future for our state.
Well, let's go through some of the issues here. As you know, as CAO of the city of Albuquerque, so you've created a lot of jobs. Obviously, this is a huge issue here in New Mexico. So a lot of people suggest the importance of private sector in growing the economy. How would you fault the current governor for courting businesses in New Mexico, and what would you do differently?
Well, first and foremost, I don't believe that this governor understands how economic development works and has never had experience doing that as a prosecutor and as a DA. She's very quick to deal with issues that involve punishing people and pointing out people who have not done a good job. But when it comes to growing the economy and understanding how job development works, she has no experience. My perspective is very straightforward. We have to do several things. The first thing I would do is I would bring in all of those contracts that now that this administration has sent out to out-of-state firms and bring back jobs to New Mexico. The behavioral health care, for example, contract is a very clear example of we're spending money creating jobs in Arizona when we got to have those dollars here in New Mexico helping New Mexicans grow or have them have jobs here and do the work that they've done and make sure that we're doing it correctly. Our tourism, for example, contract is managed out of Texas. So we have folks in Texas with good jobs that are marketing New Mexico. It's time that we began to look at how we invest in our own businesses in New Mexico and giving our own companies in our state through our tax dollars, through leading by example, if we will, state government leading by example, supporting our own businesses here in the state. But we also have to do more than that. We have to make sure that we are investing in our small businesses by potentially bringing some of our investments on Wall Street and investing some of those dollars here on Main Street, New Mexico, creating the capital and the equity that we need in the state so that as small businesses begin to grow and expand, they have opportunities to do it here. What happens now more often than not, if you're a small businessman and you're trying to scale up your business to the next level and hire more people, you're looking for dollars to invest in your facilities and your buildings, but just not here. And so as a result, they look elsewhere, and typically it's Austin, it's Boulder or Colorado or Denver or potentially Arizona or even California. And the real issue is that once those people invest in the company in New Mexico, they take the company with them, and as a result, we're losing valuable opportunities to grow businesses here. And then the last piece I will tell you is that we absolutely have to grow the pie. We need to become more aggressive about how we recruit companies to our state and create opportunities for those companies to create jobs here. But at the same time, importantly at the same time, we put in the performance measurements and requirements that require these companies to invest here, and that they once they receive whatever incentives the state may provide, that we have performance measures so that those incentives that are given are paid back to the state, and the state makes sure that it keeps dollars. But, you know, and all that means is it's being strategic. I have done that through the course of my career when we recruited, for example, General Mills to Albuquerque or Tempur-Pedic or many other companies that are now in Albuquerque. We worked hard to make sure that their investments stayed in New Mexico, they hire New Mexicans, and that they're here for the long term. We just need to do that in an aggressive fashion. That's why we're the last in job growth as a state in the country. Arizona, Colorado, and Texas are doing much better as a result of what they are doing in their states, and we need to make sure we're doing that here in New Mexico, and that's just not happening under this administration.
Well, let's talk about the economy, because obviously all of this is going to add to it. It's very tight. Extra money's in short supply. So what parts of the budget, the existing budget that we have, would you increase or cut in order to realize your priorities?
Well, first and foremost, I would also say to you that education is an absolute priority for me, and making sure that we work with our teachers to give them the opportunity to know that they're valued and that they're appreciated and that they can be part of the overall change in education that we need in New Mexico. So first and foremost, obviously, we spend a tremendous amount of our budget, almost half our budget, on education. We are testing our children incessantly in this state, and because of this Secretary Scandera's desire to, I believe, to privatize public education, and that just concerns me tremendously. But here's an example. We spend $17 million on buying tests to test our children. And now there's no question that we need to do an evaluation and accountability of our children, but we don't need to spend $17 million. How about we restructure some of those dollars and invest them back in our teachers so that we have our children get a good quality education and that we expand our education, for example, into the vocational education arena so that we can, not every child wants to go to college, every child is interested in college, give them some vocational training so that we can have them trained for the jobs that we can look for, because a well-trained workforce is part of the dynamic of growing and expanding an economy. The other piece, though, I will tell you is that I would look at partnering with cities and counties and with the Department of Economic Development and creating a stronger relationship where cities and counties step up and support the state's effort. But at the same time, the state provides, through our capital outlay process, for example, we set aside dollars to invest in infrastructure so that if a company locates in a small community or in an urban area, and they need more dollars for water and sewer lines or for roadway facilities or for infrastructure that ultimately is inherited by the cities and counties, that we have those dollars available so that we can make sure that we can put our best package forward to attract some of these companies. Also, we've got to really begin to look at how we really start having the discussion at the national level with diversification of both of our national labs. Our labs are great assets to this state. We need to use them to the utmost potential. And my thought would be here is trying to begin to look at how they start creating more domestic opportunities for New Mexico to grow small businesses out of those laboratories. For many, many generations, they have been all about the military and the military complex. We need to begin to have a discussion in Washington about how we use those laboratories to help us create the new technologies, for example, in dealing with water and how to use our brackish water in our state so that we can have a stronger water supply. Potentially look at how we use those labs to do more and more exploration in science and in the health sector so that they complement our health service center or science center here at the University of New Mexico or our ag sector. There are so many assets we have in our state, but it means just focusing on how we get those assets to work for us. And in some cases, it just means about restructuring our spending, how we spend our dollars and where we're spending our dollars. I will tell you that we have opportunities around us, but we're just not utilizing those opportunities in the best way possible.
You mentioned water, and how would you allocate water use among the citizens' efforts involving energy sector and high tech, including labs, to divert water for job creation?
Well, let me tell you, I believe that, like everyone in New Mexico who's been raised here and has grown up here and has seen what's happened over the course of the last 25, 30 years with our climate and what's happening with our climate change. We are becoming more and more arid, and we need to become more and more, quite frankly, resourceful and diligent about how we use our water. First and foremost, in my experiences when I was the city manager of Albuquerque, we implemented some great strategies to begin to curb our use of water and use it in a much more efficient manner. And as a result of the efforts that we did in those days, today, citizens in Albuquerque use 30% less water than they did before. As a result, we have water opportunities to grow businesses here in Albuquerque. And Santa Fe has followed suit, and many other municipalities have done the same. We need to make sure that that becomes the norm for New Mexico, that we begin to look at how we use water as a precious resource. Additionally, we need to begin to look at how we use innovation and technology to help us with some of the sectors that are important to our state. As a former USDA state executive director, we worked on issues of efficient water use for agriculture, making sure that we leverage the federal dollars that are available to farmers and ranchers to laser level the land so that they use water in a more efficient manner and that they continue to have a strong ag sector, that we use drip irrigation systems where we can. Just look at all the new innovations in farming that can help us save our water. And then most importantly, that we again look at the technologies that some of our companies here in New Mexico are working on to clean brackish water. Look at what other countries in the world have done. For example, Israel. Israel, looks like Southern California. They figured out how to clean water to grow their agricultural products. We have a tremendous amount of brackish water in our state. We ought to be looking at how we invest in technology to bring that water to a better use for our state. But most importantly, all of this really is about having a comprehensive water plan. I have called for a water cabinet, if you will, of all the departments in state government that are dealing with water in some fashion or other, whether it's preserving our groundwater and taking on issues like the Kirtland Air Force Base water contamination here in Albuquerque, or looking at how we allocate water to Texas and how that whole issue is going to impact our future. But it's got to be in a very comprehensive manner. And I would tell you, we need to update all our state water plans in the region and make sure that we have a cohesive water policy that really is about the future of our state, because it is a special asset for us and a very finite asset. And so we need to make sure that we have the resources to work through those issues. I grew up here. I've seen governors after governor after governor talk about water and how and nobody has stepped up and really began to tackle the real challenges that we have, which is, I believe, a comprehensive water policy that begins to look at this resource in the fashion that it needs to be looked at, which is that it's not plentiful, but there is ways to use it more effectively and resourcefully.
What is this technology in Israel that they use, and can we bring it here?
Absolutely. There's technology that they're using right now where they're taking brackish water or desalinization of water, and cleaning it up and using that kind of technology to irrigate crops and to grow crops. We need to look at those. Obviously, every part of the world has its own issues with the minerals and the that you find in the water, and New Mexico's are probably much different than they are over there. But the point is we just need to look beyond our borders and look at what other folks have done. At the same time, I know there's companies here in Albuquerque that are working on these issues as we speak and have come up with some ideas on how to clean up some brackish water. And, of course, again, going back to our laboratories could play a big role in helping us move in that direction.
So there are industries and companies that use an immense amount of water, including, you know, natural gas, fracking. A lot of people are concerned that that might be polluting
right.
the water and that it takes an immense amount. So how do you plan to balance the need for energy with the needs of citizens and a cleaner climate?
Well, I will tell you that, first and foremost, I'm not convinced that fracking in its current form is safe for New Mexico and is certainly a huge use of a precious resource. And until that I'm convinced and others in who are much more sophisticated in the environmental impacts of fracking can convince me that this is a safe thing to do. I will tell you, I am not in favor of using fresh water in the fracking process. It's just not good for New Mexico's environment on the whole. But on the other side of the equation, I'm a big supporter of renewable energy. I was president of the New Mexico Green Chamber of Commerce for 3.5 years. We advocated for the with the PRC and many of the renewable energy standards. I am a big supporter of solar and wind and geothermal. We have an opportunity to create an industry for New Mexico that helps support our rural communities, especially with wind and solar. And that we need to begin to look at how those opportunities create an economy for us that creates new jobs and moves us into what I call diversifying our energy portfolio. So as a result of that, I would say that we also need to make sure that government leads by example, that we begin to look at all our facilities, state government and local governments, because we have they are such a big part of our economy and the federal government, and look at how we use solar and wind to heat our buildings and to cool our buildings and to begin to look at our building codes and see how we begin to change those building codes to create smarter buildings, smarter homes. Homes that are sustainable, so that we can build more sustainable communities. That's what the future of New Mexico ought to be, is sustainability. And until we use the resources that we have available to us that are naturally recurring in our environment. I will tell you, as a kid growing up in a small town, I remember there were many times that our home was heated with just the sun through the windows of the house because that was what we could afford, quite frankly. But more importantly, it really did show me that we have some natural occurring opportunities here in our state through our environment, but it's all about making sure we use those resources in an efficient and sustainable manner. And quite frankly, it gives us an opportunity to create new jobs and to be a leader in the renewable energy sector, which to me is what really excites me about the future of this industry. We can really do some really positive things for ourselves, for our country, and quite frankly, for our planet. Because we're going to have to be much more focused on our impacts on the planet.
And have you noticed, since you were president of the Green Chamber, that conversation is expanding, that seems more possible with businesses here in the state?
Absolutely. I see more and more people talking to me through this campaign, through the time that I was in the Green Chamber, about being much more practical and, if you will, much more ecologically sensitive to what's going on around us. There's no question that we see our temperatures are rising in this part of the world. We see the fact that we are not getting the kind of rainfall and snowpack that we used to see. Things have changed, and I believe that folks are beginning to realize that there's other opportunities, that we're not just going to close the doors on New Mexico, that New Mexico has some great opportunities to grow in this energy sector. I will tell you, I was sitting there with farmers and ranchers who are putting in solar panels to pump water for their cattle in the middle of these rangelands all over northern and southeastern New Mexico, or where you see the dairy industry beginning to put in solar panels so that they can power up their equipment. You see that beginning to occur. I'm proud to tell you that when we built the New Mexico Railrunner Express, we put solar panels on several of the rail runner stations. Why? Because we want to lead by example, show the rest of the state, and especially our private sector, that when you build and create opportunities to use what's already happening in our environment, it helps you be more sustainable. It helps you be more conscientious about what's happening to our environment. And quite frankly, it can be beneficial. I don't know if you've been out to the southeastern part of the state, but there's a tremendous amount of wind farms as well mm-hmm. that are out there that are now providing energy opportunities. It's beginning to be, I believe, an opportunity for us. And I will tell you, the one thing that I'm excited about is that I will tell you, children are much more educated about these issues in a real way than I think some of us adults are.
They're much more creative about it, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know what? And maybe that's what it's going to take. It's going to take our children to finally have us all wake up and realize that, that they are going to inherit what, the decisions that we've made and that they want decisions that are going to be beneficial to them in the long term and good for them. We need to make sure that we're paying attention to that. But I do tell you that I do see more and more people embracing the renewable energy as an opportunity to grow our economy and create a better environment for New Mexico.
There are some big issues in the news here in New Mexico, specifically federal investigators suggesting law enforcement problems at state and city levels. They have they're a bit trigger-happy in Albuquerque, but I think nationwide. So, one, I'm wondering if you agree, and if so, what would your focus be on changing the culture of policing?
Well, here's an interesting dynamic. We have this being a police officer, a peace officer, is a very, very challenging job. And mm-hmm. and officers oftentimes have to make split-second decisions that that are, as you can see, it can create a whole level of conversation about officer shooting. Let me just say this. I believe strongly that it really comes down to several things. One is training at the academies. We need to bring not just folks that are familiar with law enforcement and how to be a good officer, but we need to bring others with who have expertise in other disciplines, in particularly the mental health sector, mm-hmm. Because many of these issues, as we have now have understood more and more from these shootings, involve people who have some mental health issues or people that have some substance abuse issues. There are other issues that are occurring in our environment that lead and cause many folks to do some things that unfortunately end up getting themselves in front of a police officer. But we need to make sure that our police officers are trained and that they understand how to deal with these issues and that we bring the experts in those fields to give them the training and make them part of the overall solution. It's like any other industry. If you want good results, you've got to make sure you invest in your people and you give them the training that's appropriate to deal with the issues that are happening in our communities. Having said that, we also need to be very cognizant in New Mexico that right now, as a result, I believe, of this governor outsourcing mental health services, as a result of folks not dealing with the issues of mental health, we really don't have a strong enough system, a comprehensive enough system that deals with folks with mental health issues. I will tell you, in my tenure in Albuquerque, the jail, our jails were the mental health institutions of many of these communities. And that is the most expensive way to deal with these issues. And you're right, they still are. We need to begin to look at how we begin to develop a stronger mental health, if you will, system, health system in New Mexico, and create opportunities to have other ways to deal with folks that have these challenges. It's the right thing to do. It's who we are as a society. It's what we should be looking at. And quite frankly, right now we're not doing a very good job of that. And we need to make sure that. That we have a governor who's going to be focused on working with all the nonprofits to do this work, all the health professionals that are doing this work, and bring the system back that we that employs, again, New Mexicans in New Mexico trying doing that work, and that we begin to look at how we deal with these issues, because, quite frankly, the police shootings are tragic and they're difficult. We need to, obviously, like I said before, have a tremendous amount of training, but we also got to look at the rest of the social issues and how they impact folks that are unfortunately walking our streets that aren't taking their medications, aren't being cared for in the appropriate manner.
Now, it sounds like at the most recent debate, when everyone got together in Albuquerque, that many of you are very similar on many of the issues, and you disagree with the current governor in many similar ways. How would you differentiate yourself from the other candidates running for governor?
Well, I've said in this race that this is about the future of New Mexico, and this is about getting things done. And I will tell you, experience matters, but results are what people want in this state. Remember, the job of the governor, aside from being the chief executive of the state, also is responsible for making sure that government provides a service and the government works, and that you have enough of an experience in running a government and the dynamic issues that occur in state government to move New Mexico forward. I'm the only candidate in this race that has spent 35 years getting things done, whether it's working on major projects like a commuter train delivered on time, on budget, to working on major issues like water, working on economic development issues, creating jobs and bringing jobs to New Mexico, helping small businesses grow their businesses and creating jobs, to helping and working with our educational institutions on how to make sure that we're using our taxpayer dollar in a resourceful and best manner. Also, working with creating after-school programs to help our children and providing community centers and family centers for our families. The point simply being is I'm the only candidate in this race that has a level of experience and understanding on how to make government work. And as a result of that, I'm the only candidate really in this race that has been out there, sat across the table, negotiated with businesses and others to grow businesses and create jobs and expand our economy. We need to make sure that we move New Mexico forward and we create jobs and that we grow our economy. At the same time, we need to make sure that you have a governor who's not only put budgets together, but who's been held accountable for how those budgets have been expended and have created and has been able to create real results for New Mexico. And that's why I tell everyone who is listening to me all the time in these conversations of politics. Politics is one thing. Getting results and making things happen is another. I have been successful in many of my careers, positions in getting things done, and that's what we need right now, because I will tell you, this administration, this governor, have no clue how to make government work for New Mexico, have no clue how to work with state employees to support them and to give them the opportunity to do their jobs, to make New Mexico better, and to support them and our teachers in particular. They've created such a difficult adversarial relationship with our teachers that our teachers are leaving the profession. It's about working with everybody and giving everybody an opportunity to come together. I've done that all my life, is bringing people together with diverse opinions and issues to make things happen. I can do this. I can move New Mexico forward. And that's, I believe, what makes me very different from the other policy people, legislators, and AG, who are more in the policy arena. And that's great. They're great people, and they're great Democrats. But they've not run institutions, and they've not been held accountable in the way that I have. And, of course, you know, Mr. Weber, the businessman, has never been in local government in New Mexico. And that's why I believe that now we need to have someone who knows how to make things work.
Is there anything in addition to that that you would like KSFR listeners to know?
I will tell you that I would tell all your listeners, we have a great state. We have tremendous opportunity to grow New Mexico in a very productive manner that will help create jobs for our families and our children, that will preserve our environment, and that will give us an opportunity to once again be that state that everyone wants to visit, that everybody will look to, because we have tremendous assets. But we need a leader in Santa Fe who cares about New Mexico, who I believe knows New Mexico like I do, and really, quite frankly, who has a track record of getting things done. This is about the future. It's about moving New Mexico forward. And I will tell you, it is not about the pettiness of politics that seems to be dividing us more and more each day. We can get together and work together, but it takes someone who has a record of doing that. I have done that through the course of my career, working with anybody who wants to work with you to make sure that you move an issue forward. And I've got that experience, and I believe that the New Mexico's best days are ahead. But we all have to make sure that we get to this primary on June 3rd, and that we then have the real honest discussions about the realities of what is not happening in New Mexico in this administration and why a change is important and why we need to all step up and really make sure that we're focused on the future of the state.
Well, Mr. Lawrence Rael, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it, and we will be looking forward to those results on June 3rd.